Welcome back to the Ratatouille commentary. To synchronize the commentary with your DVD, pause the video when the guy in the bike hits the car, and when I say play, click play. 3, 2, 1, play. What's that Colette is carrying with her in her left hand?
I always wondered that myself.
I have no idea. It just looks like a mat or something rolled up. Maybe we'll find out in a minute. Oh, it's her knives, I think.
Oh, that's what was in there. That makes sense.
And she's sharpening them for the day.
She carries her own knives with her from the house.
Yeah. Self-defense, I suppose. I think you have to have, like, a good set of knives if you're a chef. I like how she's saying her dialogue. Sorry?
That's okay.
Yeah, she's saying her dialogue, and she's obviously really annoyed, and she's sharpening them in time to her words. I thought that was pretty cool. But then you get to see a really vulnerable side to her. Linguini's just so confused because he doesn't know what he's done wrong. Colette drives a Callahan motorcycle named after Sharon Callahan, a Pixarian.
Yeah, another good Pixar engine.
It's also got a really cool paint job on it. Like, I'm not into cars or motorbikes, but it's all sparkly purple or something. Like her hair, a bit. Linguini's just digging a hole here. Using those, like, disturbing and psycho. Not a good thing to say to a girl.
It's like how Linguini never washes his clothes, you know, there's stains all over them, and Colette is all pristine and clean, but he never even washes his clothes.
Yeah, I think he sleeps in his uniform.
Yeah, he does.
Like, for 2 nights in a row now.
And this is something that happens twice in the film. Colette just dropped her pepper spray, and Hugo later drops his pen. And they're both things that are that are supposed to cause harm. But they decide not to use them.
Interesting point. I never considered
I've
that.
I've never noticed that. They'll say it's them sort of giving up control in a way. Like disarming themselves. Ego looks to me like he could have been designed by Tim Burton.
Yeah.
And that's Brad Bird doing the voice of Ambrista Mignon, which is also another play in words, like, it's meant to be like Minion. There's a lot of play on words for people's names. And I like how Brad Bird is, if you know him, he's probably got the most energy and drive and is probably the biggest personality of all the Pixarians, but yet he's playing a sort of feeble, you know, submissive character, a yes man, and his voice is so quiet. I just like how it's not totally Brad Bird at all.
It's hard to even tell that it's him, actually.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until I read it somewhere. I have to say, Skinner's comb-over is not convincing anyone. I think the lawyer was modelled after Walt Disney. And he's also drinking like a little, like it's not an espresso, but it's like, what's it called? Where it's like a really strong shot of coffee, but it's smaller.
Oh, I didn't say it's an espresso.
This is probably one of my favourite songs on the soundtrack too, Losing Control. It's always the song itself and the sequence, it's reminded me of just like a mating game, like a peacock showing its feathers and sort of, and also giving into their desires, sort of.
Yeah, and it's almost kind of seductive in a way, in parts that I always thought.
Yeah. This whole part here, it looks like this screen, the like camera, so to speak, well, in the kitchen anyway, was smeared with Vaseline, and it's blurry, and the sharpness has been taken away.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I feel so sorry for Rami here, because he's had it pretty good in cooking and having a chance to cook, but then he's just brought back to reality in that he really wants to be a cook on the outside. He is a cook on the inside, but who he is on the outside doesn't match up with who he wants to be.
Yeah, I like how Pixar wasn't afraid to throw fresh elements like that in there.
Emil's such a pushover.
So in the Canadian version of the Ratatouille DVD, are all these articles and the will in French, or are they in English?
Yeah, most of them, except mine says, ask for what's new. It says that in English, but the rest of it, all of the letter and everything is in French, so yeah, it's really cool. If you can read French. I like how all of the cars are really little, and in Europe they don't so much go for compact sort of cars. And I like how that's reflected here in the film.
I like how versatile they made Remy in that he can walk on two legs like a human can, but then at times like this, he's completely different. He goes into complete rat mode and runs on all four legs.
I didn't notice that. This music makes me so happy. In this whole scene when he gets over. I can see a bit of a resemblance between Linguini and Gusteau. Probably the nose. Linguini's as thin as a rake, and Gusteau's obviously not, but I can see a bit of a resemblance now they point it out.
Yeah, the facial features, you can kind of tell.
Now this is a nice song. Have either of you guys looked at the lyrics to this? Because I have, and it's basically a song about reaching for your dreams, and it's got a lot of food references, using food as a metaphor for being successful.
I've never seen the lyrics for this, but I'd like to.
Well, I think they were written in French, and my sister told me that when it's translated into English, it also rhymes in English, but I looked it up and I don't think that's true, but it's still really, it's really nice, and it's even more beautiful in a way. Sometimes when it's translated from another language into English, it can seem a bit sort of, muddled, but it's a bit poetic the way it's translated, so I'd recommend looking it up.
I think someone actually posted up the entire French and English lyrics and translation up on Pixar Planet. It's in the Ratatouille thread somewhere.
Yeah.
I used to know most of it, but I've forgotten everything except for the last line. I think the last line translates into "The feast is on my path" or something like that. But they have the whole translation up on Pixar Planet somewhere.
The health inspector, he was voiced by Teddy Newton, but I think in the UK version he was voiced by a chef that's popular in the UK and also Australia called Jamie Oliver. But I think the one we're watching is voiced by Teddy Newton, another Pixarian.
Yeah, it was Jamie Oliver who voiced the health inspector in the UK version. He actually had a show on Food Network some time ago called Oliver's Twist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his shows are pretty good.
And I used to watch it all the time. He's a really good cook.
The background of the press conference is also the same as the back of the Art of Ratatouille. It's a pretty beautiful piece of artwork there.
Yeah, the artwork is beautiful.
And Anton Ego, he looks in before we were talking about the characters, how they visually look represents them as a character. I'd have to say Anton Ego looks pretty malnourished, but later on in the film, after he's eaten the ratatouille, there's like more pink in his face. So you have to keep an eye out for that.
At this point in the story, Remy wants credit for his gift or his cooking ability. But during the scene where they were just outside the restaurant and Colette was on her motorcycle, he didn't want Linguini to reveal that he was the cook. So that transition isn't really explained.
It could be because he's, I don't know, worked really hard for his success, and if I were Remy, I wouldn't want humans to know, because it would mean no more restaurant, which means no more cooking, so.
But, it seemed like he wanted to get credit for helping Linguini during the press conference.
Yeah, yeah. But if I was Remy, I wouldn't want that, but, that's why it doesn't really make sense, because what would happen if he did know? It would just be all over.
Well, he's kind of battling against his conscience here, I think, because I think as Brad Bird said, kitchen is death to a rat and a rat is death to a kitchen. So if Remy reveals himself and the kitchen goes down, as does he. But, he wants to be known. He wants everyone to accept him. To accept him as a great cook and not just as a rat, so he wants to be known for the general public, but at the same time it's kind of unnerving, because if everyone does know that he's a rat, then that means that Stowe's kitchen could go down and get closed, which it does at the end of the film. So it's kind of a sad thing, really, because he really wants to be a chef and be in the kitchen, but then he can't reveal himself at the same time.
Yeah, kind of a really sad predicament for Remy. But it gets better at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I like the rats on the tiles, on the black. And the tiles, they're not in a straight line. They're not symmetrical at all. Because apparently if they made the tiles and everything, the bricks and everything symmetrical, it would be too distracting. They have to make it imperfect, much like the humans, so that it becomes watchable and realistic.
That's interesting.
So Remy feels like an obligation to feed his family, and also I guess he was doing it a bit out of revenge, but he's provided for his family, but then he's betrayed a friend, so he's sort of not happy either way. And you just know he wants to be part of the two worlds so bad, and he doesn't know which one to choose, and so he's a bit just tired of it. In France, they use a 3-star system for restaurants. I think it's either a 3 or 4-star system, but for Ratatouille, the movie, they had to change that to a 5-star system so that people would understand. And also because it works well with losing 1 star and then losing another star because Gusteau died, it works well when you see 3 stars out of 5. You know that it's just back to an average rating restaurant.
That's interesting. So did they change that for other international versions, like the French version? Did they make it like 4 stars instead of 5?
I'm not sure. I think they just left it as is, but it's possible. And they just left it as is with the 5 stars. I mean, you sort of know anyway.
Yeah.
You get used to sort of adapting to the US way. Isn't the waiter's name Mustafa? Is it Mustafa?
I think yeah. So.
That's like one of the guys from the character from The Lion King, isn't it?
Well, Mufasa is the Simba's father in The Lion King, but I know this sounds really similar.
Yeah. Again, with the name of the characters, Anton Ego is a play on, I think it's meant to be a play on antagonist, and also Ego.
Oh yeah,
Linguini's meant to be. Yeah. Linguini's meant to be like Alfredo Linguini, which is a pasta dish, and Gusteau is meant to be like Gusto, and I also think it's an anagram for something, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it is an anagram.
I looked up Gusteau on the internet, and it's not even a French name. But if you rearrange the letters, you get Auguste, which is his first name.
Oh, yeah, I think that it's an anagram of the first and last names. Well, it sounds pretty French anyway, and it's written pretty French. I have to say, I didn't really understand this speech until, my last 3 viewings or so. But I think I get it now that Remy was trying to please everyone else rather than doing what he wanted. And it's also, one of those, you get with an episode of The Care Bears or something, you had it within you all along sort of thing. And he did. And now that Remy has his family's help, and also he's found that he does have it within him what he wants to be, he doesn't need Gusteau anymore. because that role's being fulfilled and he's got confidence in himself now. So.
And that was such a beautiful realization, the way they play it out. It's one of my favorite moments in the film. I love the camera work here, how they staged everything. It's almost like a live-action film, the way they shot it.
Yeah, it really captures the activity of a kitchen. So, how come Linguini is American, but the rest of them are French?
I don't know.
He could have been raised in America.
Yeah.
There's also Ico, who has a British accent, not French.
Maybe Linguini was raised in America, but that's why he doesn't know that Gusteau's his dad, or Renata. Anyway.
Well, I don't think Renata ever told him until she gave the letter to Skinner.
Yeah, after she died. This is such an honest sort of laying everything on the table sort of thing, situation. So, which makes it a lot more emotional when everyone sort of rejects and abandons Remy and Linguini, because they've laid everything out there, but then still there's no support.
Yeah, and I love how the scene plays out. We don't need any words for it. Just by looking at the character's facial expressions, you know exactly what they're thinking.
Yeah. Also, Pixar knows when to cut out the dialogue and when to say something. Sometimes not saying anything says more than saying something, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd have to say this part always gets me teared up. I'm not afraid to admit it.
I think everyone got pretty teared up the first time they saw this in the theater.
Yeah. Especially with Colette and looking in the window. Probably the worst possible time for the health inspector to come in. I want to know exactly how they got in the car.
I don't know, they hijacked it somehow. Maybe he tried to escape and that's when they pinned him down.
Yeah. when they come out of the, I don't know what that machine is, but when they're all washed and puffed up and everything, that always gets a good laugh.
Yeah.
Remy's actually pretty good at giving direction. That's the same guy. He's always at the restaurant. It's the one that looks like Teddy Newton.
Yeah,
the same customer all the time.
Yeah, several of the characters reoccur throughout the film in the restaurant, and you see him at the end in the Ratatouille Bistro too.
Yeah. So, have you, either of you, ever tried making ratatouille or eaten ratatouille?
I've never tried or ever eaten ratatouille before. This always gets the biggest laugh. I mean, when I was in the theater, it got the biggest laugh. The two guys getting thrown in the fridge.
Yeah, my mom's made ratatouille several times. Not like Revy makes it in the film, but, just the basic dish, like, that you see Anton Ego eat when he was a kid. And my mom's made a dish like that before, and it's really delicious.
It's sort of like similar to a soup, in a way.
Yeah, it kind of tastes like vegetable oatmeal.
Have a go at making the cuisine one. Simply because it looks so good, but it's a pretty small portion.
Yeah, it does look delicious, though.
If you look in Linguini's apartment earlier on in the movie, you can see roller skates on the floor. So I like how Pixar bring that back, and he went home and got his roller skates to use for waiting tables.
Yeah, I like that too. I like how Colette hides her eyes in that one shot.
Did you guys know that they were going to shut down Gusto's at the end? Because I thought at the end of the movie, before I even saw it, that they were going to open a new restaurant. So I could probably see that one coming, but I didn't know it was going to be a new restaurant.
I didn't see it coming.
I don't either. I didn't expect that at all. I thought for sure it would stay open. That's what I love about Pixar, is they always traverse the unexpected.
Yeah, even if you can sort of see it coming, they still put a bit of a twist on it. Well, for me, anyway. Now, this part, Remy actually picks up a chef's hat and puts it on his head, but if you were to see Ratatouille in the cinema, he didn't put his chef hat on. It just wasn't in that run, but Brad Bird wanted to add it to the DVD as a sort of visual sort of representation that Remy had finally made it as a chef, a real chef, and also he's instead of being under the chef hat, he's out in the open, then he's got his own little chef hat.
Actually, I kind of like the original version more, where he didn't have the hat on.
Yeah, me too. It looks a bit sort of tacked on, if you ask me. It looks like it doesn't really belong.
Yeah, it's cute, but I don't know. It seemed a little unnatural to me.
Yeah, just a really nice ending. It's good to see Remy finally succeeding. I'd have to say, wouldn't people have gotten on to the fact that Gusto shuts down by rats and then La Ratatouille opens up? I don't know.
I guess they always kept Remy a secret even after the La Ratatouille bistro opened. I guess they never really revealed any. They always just thought that it was Colette and Luigi making the dishes and observing them.
It's good to see these sort of 2D credits. It's like 2D, but mixed. It's got a 3D element to it in some shots.
Yeah, it's refreshing in a way, because you don't see 2D very often anymore, and Pixar does it so beautifully. I wish they do it more often.
It seems as if, like, every film, CG film nowadays, has 2D credits at the end.
Yeah, everyone's following Pixar's lead now.
Yeah. So, I asked this question in every commentary, where Ratatouille would be in your list of favourite Pixar films. No need to answer, Mitch.
Yeah, for me it's right at the top. It's my favourite Pixar film, and I have a pretty good feeling that it always will be at the very top of my list of favourite Pixar productions.
This one is my favorite, too. It seemed like when I was first watching it, it seemed like they wouldn't be able to put together a coherent ending, but I couldn't have been more wrong. This probably is the best ending of any Pixar film. After this one, I'd put WALL-E.
The ending's, probably what makes the movie enjoyable, and everything ties up really nicely, and it's good to see Remy sort of having his own restaurant, so I'd have to say I really don't have a favourite Pixar film, except cars would probably be, Cars and A Bug's Life would probably be at the bottom, but the rest I enjoy equally, but for different reasons. I can't really compare them, so, yeah, I don't really pin myself down to any Pixar film as my favorite.
Yeah, but I mean, it's pretty much the same with rankings. Cars is at the bottom, and then above that is A Bug's Life, and the other ones are kind of in between. So sometimes they shift depending on what my mood is, but the top is always at a 2. And right below that, for now, is WALL-E. I really love that film. And after that, I'm not sure. They're all really good. It's hard to choose a favorite.
Yeah, for me, Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo and Toy Story and Toy Story 2, sort of like in the middle, on the same level. But, yeah. I don't really have a favorite to sort of answer that question.
Yeah. It always took me a little while to get used to some of Brad Bird's films, because I think because they're so adult, because I wasn't really that crazy about them when I first saw them. When I first saw The Iron Giant, I was really little, and I liked it, but I wasn't that crazy about it. And the same thing with The Incredibles. When I first saw it as a kid, it was so adult as compared to all the other Pixar films that it just didn't really strike a chord with me in the first viewing. But then when I got older, once I saw his films again, I really loved them. Thought they were great. And at the time I saw Ratatouille, I was around 17. So by then I understood some of the adult themes and concepts in them. And now I love all of his work.
Do you guys, when you go see a movie, Pixar movie at the cinema, do you watch it until the end credits are finished? Because I try to, if I can help it. So,
oh, yeah.
Right until the end of the Pixar logo.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I'm the same way. My sister and I are always the last ones to leave the theater.
Yeah, usually the ushers sort of come in to clean up the popcorn and everything and clean up the rubbish, and they look give us a look like, why are you still here? The movie's finished, so. And then, but then other times, and then one time they ask, oh, are you here for the next session? And we're like, no. We just came from one. But we probably should have said yes, because then we could have gone and seen it again for free.
And it always makes me sad when people don't stay for the credits. You know, I used to not like it when I was a kid either, but now when I watch any movie, I usually try to stay all the way through for the credits, because I do like to pay tribute to the artists who worked on it, because they worked so hard to get the film done. And then by the time they show their name on the screen, everybody leaves the theater, so that was kind of sad. So I always make it a point to stay through the credits.
Yeah, and try to read all the names and everything.
Yeah.
Does Pixar still put that no motion capture badge at the end of the their films?
No, I think
I haven't noticed it in WALL-E. They should bring that back. Well, thanks for listening to the Ratatouille Group 2 commentary. This has been Rachel.
And this is Fish.
And Peter.
See ya.